lives. It's the final works and words of Jesus on the cross. And those words that you just heard, it is finished, the triumph and victory and the benefits that God gives to you, as we've heard from Ronnie, as we heard from Naomi, about the working power of Jesus. So John is the only one that actually records this. There's four Gospels, but John is the only one that says that Jesus said, it is finished, which means complete, or it is done, it's final. And as we discovered from last Sunday, if you have a chance, you can go onto our website or app, you'll hear that Jesus said, I am thirsty. It talks about Jesus reveals himself as a human, meaning he understands us. He sympathizes with us. He understands the darkness of life. You have seen the video, a historical narrative that is true of what Jesus had to endure in his love so that we can experience it is finished. It's a complete work. The best way I could put it is it's like Gorilla Glue. Do you know Gorilla Glue? You know, the last generation didn't have Gorilla Glue. It was like duct tape. You know, the Red Green Show, you just duct tape everything, right? So Gorilla Glue was invented in the 1990s from a woodworker, and their tagline is simply, strong enough for the hardest jobs on planet Earth. If you have to fix anything, you use this glue. This glue will adhere to anything. It's waterproof, it's stainproof, it's foolproof. You just stick it on, it's great. And it comes in a liquid form, and it comes in a glue form. And then later on, as this glue was taking off, there was a warning sign, please do not use for cosmetic uses. Because someone decided to use Gorilla Glue as hairspray. They just couldn't get enough hairspray to pull their hair back, so she decided to say, I'm going to use Gorilla Glue. And the Gorilla Glue glued her hair together like a bike helmet. And so she went on her day. She had to go to an event. As she came home, it wasn't loosening. So she washed it 15 times. Didn't work. She put baby oil in it to try to soften her hair. Didn't work. She tried to put paint thinner in her hair. I don't know if you know what paint thinner is, but basically it peels paint away from the walls. She put it in her hair. Did not work. She was so frustrated that she went to the ER at the hospital and said, my hair is glued to my scalp. It is like I have a bike helmet to my head. I don't know what to do. And the doctor said, sorry, we have nothing for you. You have to shave off your head. And she sued Gorilla Glue for it. It's the same thing what happened here as Jesus said, it is finished. It is final. It's a little bit of an illustration that what Jesus did on the cross, no one can overturn it. Nothing, even the powers of hell, cannot overturn the words of Jesus. Rome at the time was the most powerful empire of the known world, could not stop the power of those words. Religious leaders tried to silence his words, but nothing can change these words when Jesus said, it is finished. So we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean when Jesus says, it is finished? Well, simply put, the finality of Jesus' words, as we have gone through this sermon series, is that his work is now complete. His work is complete. Nothing can take away from the work of Jesus. I'm a pastor, and I have four wonderful kids, and sometimes I have meetings in my office at home over Zoom, over a video call. It's an open office, and so every time that I have a meeting, I have to say to my family, hey guys, I'm going into a important meeting. I need you to be quiet. And every once in a while, they'll start making fun of me because I'll say, hey guys, I'm in an important meeting. Oh, yeah, Dad, we know you're a very important person having important meetings. We will be quiet. And then we tell them all to go downstairs. So we decided to do a little reno in our house. We tried to, we put a couple doors in. We closed off the office so that when Dad has an important meeting, because he's such an important person, that they can not have to be so loud. My work, friends, and our work is just temporary. Our degrees, our success, our good looks,
Our smarts only last for a moment, but the final words of Jesus last forever. His work lasts forever. And so you might be here today and say, well, what type of work did Jesus do on a cross? Why did he have to go across anyway? This isn't in your notes, but I encourage you to actually take a picture of this because it gives you an opportunity to discuss and apply it to your own life about the works of Jesus for you. So what does this actually mean? Well, the first thing we see is that the final, very, very quick, the final work of Jesus is that he paid for sin once and for all. There's no more sacrifice. We don't need to have sacrificial practices any longer. All you do is confess. And you can confess your sin anytime, any place, anywhere. And Jesus promises forgiveness. You hear Naomi's message, talk, her testimony, her story. She talked about inviting Jesus and the darkness fled. You heard about Ronnie too. You hear about these promises. This is ready for you every moment of every day. We mess up. We're not perfect. We sang a song. We can't find salvation through performance. It's through confession. Jesus did that for us. Jesus became not only the final ransom or the final sacrifice, but Jesus took on darkness and evil once and for all. If you read the scriptures, you see that from noon to three, darkness overcame the earth. An ancient Roman historian named Josephus said that this has happened. It wasn't a natural act. It was a supernatural act because Jesus is taking on darkness and sin itself, and the cosmos reacted. This means that Jesus has taken on our darkness. He's taken on the evil that lives within your heart or evil that has happened to you. He has come to take it once and for all. You let the light in, as Naomi has mentioned. But not only has he done this, this is one of my favorites, is now you and I are family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I come from a broken home. Some of my best friends I have found is in church. My spouse is found in church. If you're single in the place, the best place to find a spouse is actually in a local church. Not the club, man. It's not going to work really well for you. Not all my gym friends that hang out and lament to me about finding a spouse at the gym. No, it's actually the best place is in the local church because we're family. We come from different backgrounds and different contexts, different brokenness, but what brings us together is Christ. We're not an Asian church. We're not a Canadian church. We're a church that follows Christ. And it's because of Christ that brings us together. How amazing is that? And you can find your best relationships here. Jesus designed the local church to be the best place on planet Earth. It can be worse sometimes. But once you welcome the cross, what Jesus has done, he gives us adoption. Jesus gives us the final work to take on our guilt and shame once and for all. You don't have to self-medicate. You don't have to try to manage or hide. You don't have to work through guilt or shame any longer. But you find Jesus. So hear me, friends, really quickly. Shame speaks, I am not good enough. That's what shame says. I'm not good enough because of what I've done. Shame speaks, I'm never going to be good enough because of who I am. Guilt and shame speak to you all the time, but that's not what the cross shares. The cross speaks as well. There is now no condemnation. There is no shame. There is no guilt. There is no fear any longer in those in Christ Jesus. What a powerful reality. You don't have to walk in shame and guilt anymore. You walk in forgiveness and love and grace because of Jesus. You can fight it. You can try to manage this, but this is what the world speaks. This is what the cross speaks. What words are you listening to in your own life? And lastly, because of Jesus, he gives us right relationship, righteousness of God. We have right relationship with God, and therefore I can have right relationships with others, even though people have wronged us. This is what the work of Jesus has done when he says, "It is finished." And nothing in this world or underneath the world can take that work away for you. What amazing grace we have today. It is done. It is finished. It is final. It's better than Gorilla Glue in your hair. It transforms your life and transforms your relationships and your perspective, as we have heard this morning. But not only is the good works of Jesus complete, we see that his joy is complete. This is really weird because the cross is all about suffering, but he came with suffering joy. Just want to highlight a passage of scripture that was written to early followers of Jesus. And it says this, that Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Just like that video that we watched. It was a hard video to watch. He endured it. Why? Because of joy. And he took on its shame. He willingly and joyfully took the cross because he knew what it represented. We should pause here for a second. Because in this passage of scripture, it also shows that how we respond to suffering as followers of Jesus. Are you experiencing joy or bitterness? In the midst of our human limitations and brokenness, how can we find joy like Jesus did? This is a difficult reality to embrace as followers of Jesus, but we see it with Jesus. He endured the pain and the humiliation of a Roman cross, and yet it was because of joy. How can you and I have joy today in the midst of our suffering and complaining and our backbiting and our bitterness? Well, James, the brother of Jesus, puts it this way. He says, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that when you do all these things and experience all these things, it will produce character. And in verse 5, it says, if you lack wisdom, why don't you ask God? Because he's readily wanting to give you wisdom. You heard that with Ronnie's testimony. Frustrated, confused, angry, lonely, thinking, I'm just here to do what I want to do and then die. There's nothing else I can do in this world. And yet he calls out to God and he experiences this supernatural reality that he doesn't have to worry any longer and that he can live his life. Not for himself, but because of the cross. Mature followers of Jesus see suffering as an opportunity to grow and to be seasoned and to find wisdom on how to deal with the situations and difficulties that arise in our life. In a world that's full of fear, hatred, personalization of truth, it's me first, always first, Jesus shows a better way. He shows that you can find joy in the midst of suffering. And this is an amazing reality as well. The final words of Jesus isn't just about his works and his words are complete. It's not that his joy is now complete, but that he ushers in a new kingdom into planet Earth. The finality of Jesus' words on the cross unleashes the kingdom of God on a planet that is evil and dark and confused. A new kingdom that is now in our midst. Jesus isn't just finally working on the cross. He continues to work through the power of the Holy Spirit. His church is expanded and birthed because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because of the cross, we can now partner with God's work and what he has done on planet Earth. It is the most important type of work. Like I mentioned, our work will fade. My small renovation in my home office so my kids don't have to be quiet and dad thinks he's so important will fade. Everything that we do on this earth will fade. The great degrees you have, the scholarships you have, the bursaries you get, the paycheck you have, all of those things, how great they are, does not compare to the greatness of what Jesus has done on the cross. Why? Because his work will never fade. His work never tires like you and I do. His work never ceases. His work will not die. And yet you and I, which is an amazing reality, can partner with his work. We get to partner with God. What a great honor that is. To the followers of Jesus in ancient Ephesus, Paul puts it this way. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves. This is the gift of God. Verse 10. For you are God's handiwork or workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for you. That means your full potential. You reach your full potential by submitting your life to God. I was thinking when I was sitting down as Ronnie is speaking, I'm like, I could basically quit my job. I'll just give it to Ronnie. Like, you know, Ronnie's basically doing what I'm doing, and I can just run in the sunset and enjoy a good coffee on Main Street. You know, like, but God has called us to good works, not because we're good or we do good things. It's because of a good grace and a good God, what he did on the cross. He motivates us to good works, not based on guilt or shame, but based on grace, forgiveness, and love. The worthiness to work. Why? So we do not boast. I'm not here in front of you today. It's a humble break. But my official title is Reverend Dr. Andy Gabrick. I have degrees. I wrote a book. I have scholarships that I got. I have all these plaques. I can put so many plaques on my walls. It doesn't matter anyway. No one cares. Doesn't matter. Do I want to give my best because Jesus gave his best? Yes, that's the motivation. But it's not because I want a bigger paycheck. It's not because I think I'm worthy. No, it's because I want to give my best to Jesus because of what he's done on the cross so that I can do good works for the kingdom of God that will never fail. My degrees will fail. My health is going to fail. How I think I'm smart is going to fail. My book's going to fail one day. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is the work of Christ. I don't have to boast in myself. I don't have to gloat. I point people to Jesus. It's the same with us. The complete work of Jesus on the cross for you and me is to partner with the work that will never end. Not for our own glory, not for our own kingdoms, but a kingdom that will never die, a kingdom that will never fade, a kingdom that will always work. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward in closing. And at Home Church, we partake in communion. Communion is a remembrance of what Jesus has done at the cross for us. And every first Sunday of the month, we take communion. But I want to ask you before we go in, it's in our sermon notes, but in reflection, as we sing this song over you, you can remain seated. And there's going to be some ushers that will partake in communion together. There's two elements. There's going to be a piece of bread, and there's going to be some juice. It represents God's body and represents his blood, like we sang about. But it really is about the cross. But in reflection, if we can put that on the screen, this is what I would like you to ask yourself before we partake in communion. What do the final works of Jesus on the cross mean to you? How has he taken on your shame and guilt? How has he created you in his image so that you can find family and wholeness with one another? How can you today walk out of this place full of courage and strength to face the troubles of tomorrow because of what he's done on the cross? It's the final works of Jesus. But the second one, maybe you're here today and it's the words of Jesus. Maybe you have listened to the words of guilt and shame too long. Friends, it is finished. Guilt and shame have no power in your life unless you give it to it. The final words of Jesus, it is finished, is designed to give you hope and meaning in this world, like Ronnie has mentioned. And lastly, how can you partner with God? Some of us fight with God. Some of us rebel against God. Some of us try to outwit, outsmart, outrun God. You can try. Our work will fade, friends. Our work tires, but his work will never fade, and his work will never tire. His love for you, you can't outrun it. You can't manipulate it. You can't change it. His love is just true and pure. And let the Holy Spirit reveal to you, which means it's usually a whisper in your heart. It's usually an opportunity to allow God to partner with you and to free you from sin. So I'm just going to say a simple prayer. There's going to be some communion workers that's going to give you a cup and a, you can participate if you like, and bread. I will walk that through. But as they sing this song over you, reflect on those questions. Reflect on those moments where you can experience Easter afresh. So Lord, we just invite you to speak to us. Every single heart, every single mind of who you are and what you've done at the cross. We thank you for the final words, it is finished. Your works, your words, and your ways that we can get to partner with you to make a lasting difference in our broken, dying world. With the skill sets you've given us, with the passions, abilities, but more importantly, God, we pray that we would experience afresh the resurrected power of Jesus to die to self and to live for Christ because of what you've done on the cross. So we invite you to speak to us, Lord, to heal us, to transform us, and to free us from sin, shame, and guilt once and for all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's sing together. Amen.